Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network with Brian Barrett.
All right, away we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. If you want to hop on board and join us, the number is 617-779-7937. Again, that number is 617-779-7937. All right, it's interesting. This Kevin Garnett story has gotten a lot of mileage. It's unbelievable to me. I spent a lot of time on it last night. But Mark James and Courtney Fallon and Wiggy were talking about it basically for 3 hours today. It is ridiculous to me how many people are so upset that Kevin Garnett's jersey is going to go up in the rafters. I don't understand why there's so much hatred towards the idea of putting the jersey up. And if you look at it from this perspective, I'll remind everybody, Paul Pierce, whose jersey is up in the rafters, and deservingly so. This isn't about Paul Pierce. This isn't an indictment on Paul Pierce. But the overwhelming point is, if Kevin Garnett never comes to Boston, Paul Pierce's jersey isn't going up in the rafters, okay? Paul Pierce was a two-time All-NBA performer before Kevin Garnett got here. Then, when Kevin Garnett got here, two more All-NBA teams. Garnett was an 8-time All-NBA performer before he got to the Celtics. Garnett was the guy that was the difference maker on that team. And you can give me finals, MVP, and all this. It doesn't matter. Kevin Garnett was the best player on a championship caliber team that hadn't won an NBA title since 1986. And people say, oh, well, then you got to put Ray Allen in. No, Ray Allen was horrible that postseason until the Lakers series when he woke up in the NBA Finals. In fact, the reason that you went 7 games against the Hawks and against the Cleveland Cavaliers is because Ray didn't show up. So anybody that's putting Ray Allen in the same conversation as Kevin Garnett in terms of putting the jersey up, you're crazy, okay? Kevin Garnett was the most important guy on that team. I don't understand why fans around here have an issue with his jersey going up in the rafters. But nonetheless, a lot to get to. Chris Sale apparently is not going to be ready for opening day, or they're not sure yet, is what Ron Renicki said today. Of course, Sale coming back from pneumonia and the flu. I'm telling you, it's always something with this guy. It is always something with Chris Sale. I know you can't really prevent pneumonia, right? But again, it's another thing with Chris Sale. We're already hearing about Chris Sale health concerns, and the season hasn't even begun yet. I thought we just ended that nightmare last year when he got shut down for the end of the season, and now we're already talking about the fact that this guy might miss his opening day start. Not even miss it. They may just start him in the second game, or the third game, or the fourth game. Whenever they decide he's going to start his opening game of the season, it's probably not going to be opening day. We're already dealing with a health concern with Chris Sale entering the 2020 season. But where I want to start today is with Tom Brady and Tom Brady's decision as he gets ready for free agency, which, of course, he has never done before. So I've been thinking about this week, and I remember back to 2014 on this very radio station when Tom Brady was asked about his future, et cetera. And he said, I'll retire when I suck, okay? And I look around some of the older players in the league in past years in terms of quarterbacks, and you start to think, well, what does sucking look like? Brett Favre, his 40-year-old season, he was great. The Vikings went 12-4. He completed 68% of his passes, 33 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. The team was 1 win away from the Super Bowl. Remember, that year they lost to the New Orleans Saints, and Brett Favre actually threw an interception in overtime. He had a propensity to turn the football over. But nonetheless, the point being, Brett Favre went to Minnesota. He was really good. But then the next year, he was 41, and his body broke down. You're looking at a guy that went from completing 68% of his passes to 60% of his passes, not to mention one of the all-time Ironmen in NFL history. The guy never missed starts. He missed 3 starts that year. It was the end of Brett Favre. Peyton Manning, his 39-year-old season. And I get it. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl his final year. But have you seen his numbers? He completed just 59% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Now, they won the Super Bowl, but he threw 17 interceptions. At one point, he was benched for Brock Osweiler. That's how bad Peyton Manning was that season. So when I go back to that quote where Brady says in 2014, I'll retire when I suck, I believe now when you're looking at Brady and he's evaluating his options in terms of his free agency, that's what he has on his mind. Is Brady has said how many times that the goal is to be playing football at the age of 45, right? In fact, Alex Guerrero came on this very radio station a couple of months ago, and he said, hey, maybe he could do it till he's 46 or 47 years old. So the number one priority right now for Brady, and I'm not saying that Brady doesn't want to win more Super Bowls and all that, but the number one priority for Brady, just think about it from his perspective right now, the number one priority is the TB12 brand and playing till he's 45. So what Brady has to be asking himself this particular offseason as he makes this huge decision, is he really going to leave the Patriots and go somewhere else? The thing that Brady is going to have to ask himself is, am I setting myself up with the best possible situation so I can play to that 45-year-old season? I can play when I'm 43. I can play when I'm 44 at a high level. And that's when you start to think about it from a Patriots perspective. Are they really giving Brady the best option here? Because for all these years, that would have been a stupid thing to even bring up, right? Well, did the Patriots, does it make sense for Brady to stay with the Patriots? Obviously, they've been the dynasty of this sport, right? But if you really look at what Brady's interests are this time around, when he's looking to play till he's 45 years old, are the Patriots set up for Brady to say, you know what, this is the best decision for me to play till I'm 45 years old and to play at a high level until I'm 45 years old? Because I start to look at the playoff teams from a year ago in the AFC. And when you look at these teams, you tell me, where do the Patriots rank in terms of the weapons? Because you look at all these teams that made the AFC playoffs, you can make the argument that only one team had worse weapons than Tom Brady did last year. So you look at what Lamar Jackson had with the Ravens. You have Mark Andrews, Mark Ingram, the running back. Hayden Hurst had a good season. Hollywood Brown, the first round pick, the receiver that they took. Then you start to look at the Titans. Well, Ryan Tannehill had Derrick Henry, had A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, who had a good year for them. The Texans, Deshaun Watson, he's got DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. The Chiefs, we don't have to go through that laundry list, do we? Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Damian Williams, Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins was like the fourth best option for Pat Mahomes. And Brady's like, well, who am I throwing to after Edelman? And then you look forward to the only other team in the AFC that you could have an argument the Patriots had better weapons than was the Buffalo Bills. But I would actually give the Bills the benefit of the doubt here. Cole Beasley had a really good season for them. John Brown was that deep threat that they needed. Again, remember, the Patriots are after Cole Beasley. Didn't land him. Dawson Knox had a pretty good season as a rookie. And Devin Singletary, the young running back, had a really good year for the Bills as well. So when you look at it, Brady's thinking to himself, well, all these other guys around the league, they get all these weapons to work with. Okay, they're getting helped. As great as Pat Mahomes is, he's got a lot of help. As great as Deshaun Watson is, he's got a lot of help, right? As good of a season as Ryan Tannehill had, where everybody thought, oh, this guy's not good anymore, look at all the help he had. A.J. Brown, like, Ryan Tannehill led the league in quarterback rating because of all these guys he had around him. I give the guy a ton of credit for improving late in his career like he did. But again, a lot of that has to do with the weaponry around him. So if you're Tom Brady right now, do you think that if your goal is to play till you're 45 years old, heck, maybe 46, is the Patriots the best fit for you to do that? Because when you look at this team right now, there's not a whole lot after Julian Edelman. And then you start to think, well, hey, well, maybe they can get some weapons for Brady. Well, the one thing I would say about that is this. How are you recruiting these guys if Brady hasn't committed to the team yet? So what are you going to go out there and convince big-name free agents, hey, you should join the Patriots? We're not sure about that Brady guy. That's the only reason guys are coming here in terms of the weapons. They want to play with Tom Brady if you're coming here. And I would also say this. Even if Brady does give the Patriots a commitment, if you're a guy like A.J. Green, who is going to be the number one receiver on the market, although he's 32 and he's coming off a foot injury, that is a little bit concerning. If you're A.J. Green, and I understand this seems like blasphemy, but at this particular point when Tom Brady's 43 years old, if you're A.J. Green, you've been playing in Cincinnati for all these years, right? Playing for a Cincinnati Bengals franchise that, okay, made it to the playoffs a couple times, didn't win any games, and last year you were injured the whole season. You're on the back nine of your career. You're looking to latch onto a team that is Super Bowl caliber. Are you so sure you want to do it with a 43-year-old quarterback? What if Russell Wilson's like, hey, A.J., want to come out to Seattle, play with me? Russell Wilson had one of the best seasons of the NFL this season. If I was A.J. Green, at this point, that would be significantly more appealing to me. So I'm not so sure you can just fix this weapons issue and just pick guys off. This isn't 2007 where everybody wanted to play with Tom Brady, or 2014 or 2015 where everybody wanted to play with Tom Brady. That solution just isn't there. It's not automatically, oh, you can get whoever you want. It doesn't work out that way. So if I was Tom Brady, I got to look at the other situations. And you go through the list of teams that we've seen that are at least remotely interested in Tom Brady, or at least the teams that have been linked to Brady, and some of the teams here. So, for example, One of the teams that has been brought up a bunch is the Chargers. Keenan Allen, great year, 74 receiving yards a game, and he's had an outstanding career. Mike Williams is an absolute beast, 20 yards per reception, 66 yards a game. Austin Eckler out of the backfield, Brady's always had that stabilizing force that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Well, Austin Eckler last year, 62 yards a game in the receiving game as a running back. And oh, by the way, you would think that if Brady's going to the Chargers, then they'd want to keep Hunter Henry there because Brady's been one of the best ever in terms of throwing the ball to the tight end. So is that better than what the Patriots have to offer right now? I would say, yeah. If you're the Tennessee Titans and you decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill and you're going after Tom Brady, this is what you're working with. A.J. Brown, who's a stud, 65 receiving yards per game last season, 8 touchdowns as a rookie, as a rookie. Yeah, remember the Patriots also drafted a rookie. That didn't work out like A.J. Brown did. Jonnu Smith, who's a good-looking tight end. And oh yeah, you got one of the best running backs in the NFL in Derrick Henry. Okay, so how would you compare the Titans' weapons that they have in place right now with the Patriots' weapons that they have in place right now? It's not close. Then you look at a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I brought up yesterday. I believe this is the best fit for Brady from a football standpoint, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You look at this team, Jameis Winston led the league in passing. He threw for over 5,000 yards this past season. I got to believe that Brady thinks, hey, if I take Jameis's job, I think I can do it at a higher level than him. I'm not going to throw 30 interceptions. Chris Godwin had an outstanding season, 95 yards per game, 9 touchdowns. Mike Evans is an absolute beast, 89 receiving yards per game, 8 touchdowns. And oh, by the way, O.J. Howard, you're saying there's a lot of potential there if I'm Tom Brady. I can get more out of him than Jameis Winston, who just had LASIK surgery, did and apparently couldn't see well last year. Then you look at also the other team that's been linked to him, the Raiders. Now, the Raiders, not a stacked team, but you do have a rookie running back in Josh Jacobs that averaged 88 yards per game on almost 5 yards per carry. You got a tight end in Darren Waller, 71 yards per game, which is pretty good. And again, Brady didn't have that tight end at his disposal last year. How many years have we seen Brady throw it down the seam to Gronk? And even when Gronk wasn't here that a couple of years, he gets hurt. Think about the 2016 team that won the Super Bowl. He still had Martellus Bennett. No, he's not Gronk, but at least he's a competent NFL tight end. Brady didn't have that. And Brady's one of the best in the history of the sport throwing that seam route to the tight end. One of his best passes was taken out of his arsenal, if you will. He couldn't use it. He couldn't use it. And Darren Waller is that guy at the tight end position. You got a nice looking rookie in Hunter Renfro, 46 yards per game. Tyrell Williams, nice season, deep threat type guy, 46 yards per game. And oh, by the way, you have a boatload of cap space. So if Brady does want to join the Raiders, he can go recruiting people if he really wants. And then secondarily, the other thing I would look at if I'm Tom Brady is, well, I got the 12th pick in the draft. And I know Brady doesn't love rookie receivers, but some of these draft experts, the Mel Kuypers, the Todd McShays of the world, they're essentially saying this could be the best draft in terms of receivers since 1996 with Marvin Harrison, T.O., that group. Keyshawn Johnson was the number one pick. Like, that's how good this receiving class is. Okay, so you can draft one, you can go get some weapons, you can do all that stuff if you're the Raiders if you decide to move on from Derek Carr. So just on paper, I would give the Raiders weapons right now, even without what they've done in free agency, I would give them a nod above what the Patriots have right now, which is Julian Edelman. And again, I ask you the question, what else? A slow rookie receiver in N'Keal Harry, a slow rookie receiver in Jacoby Myers. What else does Tom Brady have to work with? So that's why for this particular situation with Tom Brady, when you look at it and you're asking yourself, it seems stupid to say it out loud, the Patriots probably aren't the best fit for Brady long term if he wants to play to at least 45. It seems dumb to say that. But when you say it out loud and you go through this thing and you start to see the other options, the four teams that have got the most attention in terms of Tom Brady possible destinations, all those other ones, if Tom Brady's goal is to play at a high level until he's 45 years old, all these other options right now make more sense to me. Because when you look at Tom Brady and you look at this Patriots thing, he just went through a season from hell for him. Now you could say, well, they went 12-4 and all this. Did you see Tom Brady this year? Did you hear Tom Brady when he went to the podium after games this year? Did he seem like he was a happy individual this season? He didn't seem like that at all. Brady seemed miserable. And the number one thing I look at in terms of why Brady was miserable, and I know people have pointed to the contract, et cetera, that he didn't get the extension he wanted. Maybe it's some of that. But I believe the thing that pissed off Brady more so than anything else, he knows what great offense looks like. In 2007, they had one of the best, if not the best offenses in the history of the sport. In 2011, they reinvented NFL offenses with the two tight ends. In 2017, he was the MVP of the NFL. In 2016, after the suspension, that offense was unstoppable. Came back from a 28-3 deficit in the Super Bowl, right? So Brady knows what elite-level offenses looks like. And if Brady wants to keep playing, things have to motivate him. He doesn't want to be playing on this team that is barely doing anything from an offensive perspective and having to lean heavily on the defense. Clearly, this is something that irritated Brady. And think about this. 13th in passing yards per game, 19th in quarterback rating, 13th in touchdown passes, 27th in completion percentage at 60.8. And again, I've said it on multiple occasions, it's not all on Brady, right? This team, in terms of the weapons, there was none. We've acknowledged this. The offensive line, until Isaiah Wynn came back, that was a real issue. And oh, by the way, to go against the Patriots and the argument for Brady to go back to the Patriots, Dante Scarnecchia is no longer a part of the organization as he has decided to retire. So when you look at all those numbers, and Brady hears things, Brady knows what people are saying about him, right, in terms of, well, maybe Brady is diminishing. Maybe Brady doesn't have it anymore. If you're Brady, you have to be real about the situation and say at 43, I need significantly more help than I did in 2007 or in 2011. I need more help. This is the worst group of weapons we've seen for Tom Brady really since 2006. And that's going back a significant chunk of time. It's a long time since Brady had weapons that were this bad in terms of what he was working with this past season. So if you're Brady, you have to ask yourself the question, how is it going to be different? That's why the one report that has come out recently that I actually do buy into is the one that Brady wants weapons. That one makes total sense to me, because what weapons do for Tom Brady is it helps him get to one of his ultimate goals that he set for himself, is to play at a high level until he's 45. And having those weapons that he didn't have last year where he clearly do that, I don't buy into the fact that, oh, Brady's looking for $30 million per season. I don't believe that whatsoever. It's never been about money for Brady. It's always been about winning, but secondarily, what Brady's wanted this whole time was just security. He just wanted to know that he could finish his career in a Patriots uniform. That's what he was looking for. So that's why this whole crap about, oh, Brady wants $30 million per season, I don't buy that whatsoever. Now, apparently, according to Larry Fitzgerald Sr., the Raiders are willing to offer him 2 years and $60 million. So that number is out there. But I think what it is, more so than anything else about Brady, he wants to know where he's going to finish his career. He wants to get that 2 to 3 year extension so he can play until he's 45 years old. And he wants to make sure that he can end his career the way he wants to, meaning playing high-level offensive football. He doesn't want to have to grind everything out like he did this past season. He doesn't want everything to be a struggle. He doesn't want to go into games and think that the offense is a complete liability like it was for the majority of this season. That's why, from my perspective, when you add everything up and you look at what Brady's looking for, it seems like to me that Brady's on his way out, and all these other places for what Brady specifically wants now, they make significantly more sense to me, unless Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio can do something and pick up some big time talent that will keep Brady here in New England. That's what makes more sense to me. Brady goes and joins up with some studs in terms of offensive weaponry rather than stay here where you don't have a ton to work with. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady situation, certainly welcome to do so. Should Brady stay in New England? Do you think he is on the verge of leaving? By the way, Matt Cassel had an idea on who the Patriots should go with if Brady decides to go elsewhere. I hate Matt Cassel's idea of the quarterback he wants to bring in, and I'll get into that in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network
with Brian Barrett.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. What do you make of Tom Brady's decision that is looming? Do you agree with me that it makes more sense for Brady to leave if what he wants to do is play till he's 45? Because right now he doesn't exactly have those type of weapons. The number is 617-779-7937. Let's get to Kevin in Grafton. What's up, Kevin?
One of your points, but I don't agree with the other one. I agree that it's not about the $30 million, but I disagree. It's about stats, about being like the top, one of the top five quarterbacks.
Well, Kevin, hold on. Let me reiterate what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Brady has to be like in the MVP race or something along those lines. I'm just saying it can't be similar to what it was last year, where Brady felt like he was pulling teeth for the majority of the season and he had nobody outside of Edelman that he could rely on. I don't believe Brady wants to end his career that way. That's why I think upgrading the weapons is what Brady's looking for, no matter if he's here or if he goes to Tampa or Tennessee, wherever the case may be.
Yeah, but upgrading the weapons is always the thought that he needs more receivers. The passing game has to improve and his stats improve. Upgrading to me in his mind is, he understands when you get to the playoffs, you need a running game, and that was going to go nowhere when you lost Devlin, your left tackle, and you couldn't run the ball. He knew that that was going to be a problem late in the year, and when the teams know you can't run the ball, they focus on him. He's not going to find that differently anywhere else.
Well, how can you say that? What if he went to Tennessee? They have Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry ran the ball all over everybody.
Understood, but his bottom line, and when I disagreed with your second point, I think the main focus of him is he's going to be remembered with one more Super Bowl. Now, if he does it with someone else, it's still linked to him, and it's still Brady has seven. But if he gets it with the Patriots, it's insurmountable. It's just not going to happen again with the same team.
Wait, hold on, Kevin, I believe that if Brady went to a different team and won a Super Bowl with a different organization, that would be more impressive than him staying here and winning another one. Winning one without Bill?
I agree, but he's also got it in his mind. He's got to think all the changes I have to make, the new team I'm going to, doesn't guarantee me just because they have better weapons supposedly than we do, is going to get him a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that he's going to get a Super Bowl. I'm just saying I believe what Brady wants to do is he wants to play high-level offense for the final three, two, whatever it is, final years of his career, and not go through this crap again that he did this past season.
I disagree. I believe that he wants to get a Super Bowl victory, and I think he wants to be with a team that gives him the best shot at that. And he has pulled his entire career as he experienced. There are a lot of factors that go into winning a Super Bowl, and he has probably, if he's got to pick odds-on favorite, he's got to pick his own team. This team right here that he's been with is the best odds to win a Super Bowl, even over, picking a team like Tennessee. Like you say, you see this every year. There's one upstart team. What do they do the next year when they get a tougher schedule?
Well, what if everyone
is gunning for them?
Well, wouldn't Tom Brady think to himself, and I appreciate the phone call, Kevin, you can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. Wouldn't Tom Brady be saying to himself if he went to Tennessee, whether you agree or disagree with the logic, wouldn't Brady be convincing himself that, this team is ready to win right now and I can be the difference maker and put them over the top? That's what Brady would be believing. If he went to Tennessee, he would have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that Brady doesn't want to win Super Bowls anymore. I'm just saying it feels like when you've played this long, you don't want to go out on the terms that you just had last year, where the weapons are not going to be good. You're not going to have fun playing football. It didn't seem like Brady had a lot of fun last year. He's usually the prince of positivity. And this year he was negative for the majority of the season. He was frustrated with the offense. I just believe that if Brady is going to play till he's 45 years old, he's going to want to do it on his terms and play his style, where I'm not saying the numbers are important to him, but having a good offense is important to Tom Brady. He looked miserable last year. Remember, this is after the Eagles game this season after a win.
Just thoughts about the struggles that you're having in the red zone. I know it's one of those things you don't like to take three ever, and you had to take three, so pretty much the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
have any more. I don't know.
Tom,
is there any way to remedy it? Like, is it just about just practicing and execution?
Yeah, I think that's right. Practice execution.
Tom, how would you describe the offense at this point in the year?
Up and down. That's what it looks like to me. So. Yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
So how would you describe your defense?
They're doing a great job. Doing keeping us in every game.
Tom, are you discouraged right now? A little different than you guys just won.
Yeah. Well, we just played for 3 hours, so I think everyone's a little tired.
That was Tom Brady after his team just improved to 9-1 with a win over the Eagles. Yeah, I think the offense is up and down. I think everybody's tired. We just played for three games. Do you think that Tom Brady wants to go through that routine again next season? That's why I point to the fact where Tom Brady has so many damn Super Bowl rings already. I believe that he wants to go out on his terms and play with the type of style that can put up points offensively, that can move the ball offensively. If you're Tom Brady, you're going to be trying to commit to a team for the next 2 to 3 years. You want to go somewhere where you feel comfortable about the weapons and you feel like you can put up the numbers that you want to put up and not be considered for your side of the ball to be a liability. And that's what the Patriots were offensively last year. They were a liability. So the one report, as I mentioned, that I do believe is that Brady wants the Patriots to get him more weapons. I think that's the obvious, right? We all know. Anybody could tell you. You don't have to be Bill Belichick or Nick Casario to realize this team needs a massive upgrade in terms of the weaponry around Tom Brady. Not any quarterback in the league was doing much with this offense in terms of the passing game last year. I'm sorry, nobody. I mean, it was terrible in terms of what Tom Brady had to work with. But I just don't believe that this solution in terms of upgrading the weapons, which is what Brady wants the Patriots to do, I don't believe it's that easy. I really don't. So you look at some of the big names that are out there. The guy we mentioned earlier, A.J. Green, coming off a foot injury, 32 in July. He's the best guy out there. He's got a foot injury. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to convince him to come here. So there's that element. You don't know if all of a sudden you're just going to get A.J. Green. Amari Cooper, you would think the Cowboys are going to lock him up. They traded away a first-round pick for him. Even if they have to franchise the player, they can't get rid of him. That would just be bad business. Emmanuel Sanders, now the Pats did like him all those years ago. Remember, they signed him to the offer sheet. Had an outstanding season in San Francisco, but you would think he's comfortable in that offense. Wouldn't he rather stay in San Francisco than come to New England? Robbie Anderson, that guy's a deep threat, played for the Jets. I mean, he'd be a nice fit, but he's not a reason that Tom Brady's saying, oh, this offense got to get back on track. And then you look at the tight end. Austin Hooper had an outstanding season in Atlanta, 60 yards per game. You had Hunter Henry had a good year for the Chargers, but that guy's always hurt. Last year was the ACL, then this year he has another issue with his knee, so he's always hurt. Eric Ebron, he had 1 year of good production in 2018 where he had 12 touchdowns. Last year, just 34 yards per game, and I get that he had Jacoby Brissett. And Greg Olsen's another name being thrown around. That guy turns 35 next month, okay? We just saw what an old tight end looks like in Ben Watson. He wasn't good at football anymore. You think Greg Olsen's going to be the solution to Tom Brady's problems? So I just don't believe that this upgrade in terms of what the Patriots need to do for Brady, I don't think it's as easy as everybody's making it out to be. Well, hey, just get Brady some weapons and here we go. Well, they've been trying to get him weapons the past couple of years. They've just been failing. They went after Cole Beasley. They didn't get him, right? We can go through the laundry list of guys. They went after Golden Tate. They didn't get him. The whole Jared Cook situation got messed up because Gronk announced his retirement late and the Saints promised he could be the number one tight end. So that didn't work out. And then Bill Belichick did what he always does. He went bargain basement shopping and look at these guys he came up with. Dontrell Inman didn't make the team. Maurice Harris, who the hell is he? Nobody knew who he was. Matt LaCoste, all these guys didn't do anything for the Patriots. So why should Brady think all of a sudden it's going to be different in the 2020 offseason? And don't even get started on drafting receivers. We just saw there was like one bad receiver, it seemed like, in the last draft, and somehow the Patriots got him in the first round. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Tim and Natick. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on? So here's my thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if Brady goes to another team, that doesn't necessarily guarantee he's going to put that team over the top, especially if he's trying to put his own offense back into that team. I mean, a lot of these receivers, there's no way a rookie receiver is coming into New England and having a year the way rookie receivers do it in Tennessee and Baltimore, because they're telling these receivers, run a go pattern, run a slant. Brady's offense is much different. It's much more complex. It's get to the line. If the cornerback's giving you an inside push, then you're gonna break your route outside. It's much more complicated. And when something like that happens, if Brady goes to Tennessee and things don't click the way they didn't click this past year and things look awful, then Brady's going to be the blame of Tennessee that went to the championship game with Ryan Tannehill.
Sure, Tim.
So he's got a lot more to lose.
Tim, there is definitely a possibility that Brady, no matter if it's here in New England next season or if he goes to the Titans, the Raiders, the Chargers, there is definitely, or the Buccaneers, there's definitely the possibility that Brady could just not have a good season whatsoever, and we could see this year the numbers being down. Yeah, a lot of it had to do with other things, but it could be the start of a trend. That's definitely a possibility, no matter if he stays here or he leaves.
Yeah, absolutely. But I truly believe Brady will have the best year if he stays in New England, and if you know, like,
so Tim, let me ask you this. Tim, let me ask you this though. Why?
Yep.
So you say that you think that if he stays in New England, he's going to have the best year than going to a different destination. Why is that to you?
Mainly because of Belichick, because of the game planning and specific.
Right, but I mean, look, he had Belichick and he had McDaniels this past season, and it sucked. It was a bad year.
Yep, and you know it wasn't a bad year
for Tom Brady. It was for the team. It was okay. They went 12-4, right? For the Patriots standards, it was a decent year. But for Brady and the offense, it was a terrible year.
Right, and a lot of it is because of the influx of how the receivers were the whole year. I mean, you start the first half of the year without Harry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first game against Pittsburgh, you look at this offense, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, Philip Dorsett, he's emerging, he's here, he's clicking with Brady. You know, I mean, you should have kept Demaryius Thomas. You know, I think that having that would have helped benefit.
Yeah, that was because they signed Antonio Brown, so they felt like they didn't have any need for Demaryius Thomas. I felt weird about that too at the time because Demaryius Thomas, like at the end of the preseason, he looked sharp again, although he didn't have a great season anyway. But Tim, my whole point about that is, okay, the receivers never clicked last year. Why all of a sudden is that going to change next year? I just don't see why it's going to be different.
So my theory, and obviously this is just a theory, is that every time something bad like this happens, you go back to 2006 when you had Rashay Caldwell, 2007 they completely overhaul, you know, and go with, you know, Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you had Brady got injured in 08, but 09, it wasn't a good year. That was the bad Saints year. 2010, they drafted Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah, that's
and
an interesting
Brady
point.
Ends up getting a MVP season, you know, and you go back and look at those stats as rookies. Gronk had like 45 catches. Hernandez had like 42 catches. Like, they weren't this monstrous breakout stars that they ended up becoming later, especially Gronk, but they did enough and they used them sparingly to fit their skill set. And I think Tom Brady really relied. Since 2010, the middle of the field with a great tight end is how he excels. And that is the number one priority in this offseason, getting a legitimate tight end back here.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Tim. The number is 617-779-7937. I do totally agree with the tight end. You take away one of Brady's best passes, I would be pissed off if I was Brady, too. Like, you had nothing down the seam, and he always was great throwing that ball, even before Gronk was here, right? He always had that throw in his arsenal. Now, to his point, that is valid in terms of every time it looks bad here in terms of the offense, Bill Belichick has done something. So 06, he mentioned Rashay Caldwell was the number one receiver. And by the way, Brady went all the way to the AFC Championship with that guy as his number one receiver. But nonetheless, he goes out and he gets Wes Welker, who was not valued as highly as he should have been in Miami. And they, of course, traded for Randy Moss. And then you look at, they're down for a little bit for their franchise, if you will. Not down for most teams. They were winning the division, but they weren't great between like 2009, 2010-ish, and they make the draft picks of Hernandez and, of course, Rob Gronkowski. Even if you go back to another thing, if you look at 2015, they end up going to the conference championship game, but they lose to Denver. The line was a mess. Remember how many hits Brady took in that game? And after that, they bring back Dante Scarnecchia out of retirement. So every time the offense has looked like, oh, maybe it's vulnerable, Bill Belichick has gone out and he has been able to upgrade it. But what I point out with these free agents, that's why I bring it up, and the tight ends, et cetera, I just don't see what's available. Unless somehow he swings this big, massive trade to bring in a star-studded receiver, I just don't see them getting it fixed this offseason. I don't believe this solution is so easy, and we should just have blind faith that Belichick's going to be able to get it done and get Brady the weapons that he needs to have a football team that isn't just all about the defense like it was a season ago. All right, do you agree with me that Brady, for what he wants to do, play till he's 45, it's best that he goes elsewhere and play for a different team that actually has weapons? Or do you think I'm crazy for saying that? Plus, I do want to get to Matt Castle's suggestion to the Patriots. If Tom Brady is to leave, he's suggesting one quarterback should come here to New England. I couldn't disagree more on it. I'll get into it in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio with Brian Barrett.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on the Tom Brady situation, certainly welcome to do so. Okay, now I did want to get to this. Matt Cassel, who, of course, former quarterback of the Patriots, led them to that 11-5 season everybody likes to bring up. So he has an idea on who the Patriots should bring in if Tom Brady decides to take his talents to Tampa or Tennessee or Las Vegas or Los Angeles. So this is what Matt Cassel wrote on NBCSportsBoston.com. Quote, there are a lot of complexities to this offense, so you need a guy with a good football IQ who is brought up in a good system and can comprehend that stuff quickly. You obviously have to be able to make the throws and have the general physical qualities they look for in terms of being a strong pocket passer, but you also have to be able to manage the other stuff. That's why Phillip Rivers is an intriguing guy, because I still believe he can play. No, please, no. No, 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 no. I don't want to see any part of Phillip Rivers on the Patriots if Brady leaves. You know what Phillip Rivers is right now? He is a worse version of Tom Brady. And this is an indictment on Brady, obviously. But you look at what Phillip Rivers is in terms of the style of play. He's a prototypical pocket passer, which we rarely see that type of player in the NFL nowadays. You got like Brady and you got like Drew Brees that are the stationary guys that don't move at all. Most of these other quarterbacks can at least move a little bit. Brady and Drew Brees are like the two guys remaining in the league that don't do things in terms of running the football at all. Even some of the guys that are more pocket passers, like Garoppolo, is more mobile than Brady and Drew Brees. These guys just sit in the pocket, and that's exactly what Phillip Rivers did. And Phillip Rivers was absolutely atrocious last season. If you look at his numbers, oh my God, 20 picks. Only Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston had more. He had 8 more picks in 2019 than he did in 2019. His quarterback rating went from 105.5 to 88.5. And the other thing, this is just from a pure selfish perspective, okay? Would this be intriguing to anyone? There's so many other things the Patriots could do at the quarterback position that would be more intriguing to me from a fan's perspective, right? Just watching this team play every Sunday. There are so many damn things that would be more intriguing to me than seeing Phillip Rivers come to the Patriots. First of all, you know what would be more intriguing to me? Jarrett Stidham. Seeing if Jarrett Stidham is actually a franchise-caliber quarterback that you drafted in the third round. I'd much rather watch Jarrett Stidham be the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year, even if the team sucks, than have Phillip Rivers come here, be a significantly lesser version than Tom Brady, and the team maybe get into the playoffs, but you know you have no chance to win the Super Bowl. I'd much rather Jarrett Stidham. Even some of these other guys that we've heard, some of the names out there, like, for example, Derek Carr still younger, Andy Dalton still younger. Now, I don't want either of those guys on the Patriots, right? I don't want to see Derek Carr or Andy Dalton on the Patriots. But at least there's a storyline with that one. Because what you could spin is like, hey, see how great of a coach Bill is? He's still winning the division. He's got Andy Dalton. Hey, he's winning the division. He's got Derek Carr. Like, from my perspective, with the lack of weapons this team has, and we'll see how much they really do upgrade, but with the struggles that this team had offensively, it would be pretty compelling to see what Belichick could do with a guy that we consider to be like a very average quarterback. I just believe Phillip Rivers is done. He's cooked. I have no interest in him coming to the team whatsoever. You know who would actually be significantly more interesting than Phillip Rivers? If the player became available, because his coach doesn't exactly have his back right now. In fact, Bruce Arians, and the guy I'm referring to is Jameis Winston. Bruce Arians said about Jameis Winston after the final game of the season where he threw the walk-off pick six. Remember that? To get to the 30 interceptions. First guy ever with 30 touchdowns and 30 picks in the same season. After that game, they asked him about a different quarterback coming in, and he said, well, if we can win with this quarterback, we can definitely win with another quarterback, referencing Jameis Winston. So it's not as if Bruce Arians exactly wants Jameis Winston there long-term, and if they can upgrade with a different quarterback and Jameis comes on the market, that would be at least compelling television, because you don't know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston. Can you imagine how Bill Belichick would react when Jameis has some of his, like, 4 interception games? That would be intriguing television, but Phillip Rivers does absolutely nothing for me in terms of, first of all, he's not a good player anymore. He sucks. I mean, the drop-off was significant. The quarterback rating, the completion percentage, the interceptions went up. Everything in terms of the numbers were worse last year than they were the season before. And also, you look at it in terms of what Phillip Rivers had to work with. Now, it's not as if he had a great offensive line, But think about the weapons that Phillip Rivers had at his disposal. You had Mike Williams, who is a stud big receiver on the outside. Keenan Allen, one of the best possession receivers in the NFL. Austin Eckler out of the backfield. Hunter Henry had a really good season as well. I know he missed time, but he did play in 12 games. So when you look at Phillip Rivers and that team that he had last year, that was a talented football team. And Phillip Rivers was the main reason that that team sucked last year. He was throwing the ball to the opponent way too much. So if the Patriots do decide to move on from Brady, or if Brady decides to move on from the Patriots and he just decides, hey, it's not the best fit for me anymore, from my perspective, what I would rather see for the Patriots than one of these journeyman quarterbacks, and again, I don't want to see Dalton, I don't want to see Carr, I definitely don't want to see Phillip Rivers, but from my perspective, the thing that I would rather do is see what you have in Jarrett Stidham. I don't care if the team sucks. Now, it's another thing, if you want to draft a quarterback high this year, I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. In fact, I'd be on board with that. If you don't believe that Stidham is that guy, well, and only the Patriots know, because we barely saw him play. In fact, he came into one game, then he got benched, remember? But if you look at it, I would want to find out how good is Jarrett Stidham, because if he sucks, then you could just move on to the next guy. And it's not as if bringing in one of these journeyman quarterbacks is going to be putting this team in a position to actually compete and win a Super Bowl. So if you're not going to compete and win at the highest level, what's the point of bringing in one of these mediocre quarterbacks and having a meh season where it's like, yeah, they were okay. They were 9-7, or they were 10-6. They got into the postseason. They got killed by the Chiefs. Oh, they got smacked by the Ravens. Yeah, it was a decent season, but the Buffalo Bills beat them out in the division with Josh Allen at the quarterback position. That's just not what I want to see. Now, if Jarrett Stidham goes out there and he stinks, okay, great. Who cares? Then you just move on from Jarrett Stidham. You draft another quarterback high in the draft in the following season. So if it's me, I don't want to see any of these journeyman quarterbacks coming into this Patriots team, because it would be one thing if the Patriots were built to win right now with this offense, where you're like, okay, you can take a pretty good quarterback or an average level quarterback and still be a really good team. That's not what the Patriots have set up for them right now. This isn't like if you put a quarterback in San Francisco with Emmanuel Sanders last year and George Kittle and Debo Samuel and the best running attack in the NFL, a great offensive line, great play caller. That's not what the Patriots have right now. This is one of the worst offensive setups in the entire league. So just bringing in that plug and play quarterback, if you will, it doesn't really work out for the Patriots. And the other thing I would mention is this. Some of the anti-Brady stuff I hear out there, one of the points that people keep bringing up, and I heard it on OMF, multiple callers brought this up this week. Well, remember the year that Brady went down and the Patriots went 11-5? Yeah, I do remember that year. It's not anywhere close to this year. Those situations are not comparable. If you think about what Matt Cassel was doing in the year that Brady went down with the ACL injury, he had Randy Moss, who was one of the best three receivers in the NFL. Heck, you can make the argument that he's the second best receiver in the NFL behind only Jerry Rice. So you had him, you had Wes Welker, who at that particular point in time was the best slot receiver in the NFL. You had a really good defense. You had a team the previous season that went 16-0. That's not what this Patriots team is. Think about what we're talking about in terms of what Brady apparently wants, according to all the reports. Brady wants significant upgrades in terms of what this team has in terms of the receivers, and just getting a tight end will be nice because the Patriots didn't have any last year. We're talking about all the issues they had from an offensive perspective. That wasn't the case back when Matt Cassel in 08 took over from Tom Brady when he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker. They don't have anything that resembles that. They have Julian Edelman and pretty much nothing else that you can depend on every game for this Patriots offense. You don't have that at your disposal. So those 2 years, I keep hearing people bring that up. Oh, they'll be fine if they move on because of Matt Cassel. That's the anti-Brady crowd. The pro-Belichick crowd is, oh, well, Matt Cassel, 11-5. Yeah, totally different scenarios. You can't just compare the 11-5 Matt Cassel season with Randy Moss and Wes Welker to what this team has coming back entering the 2020 offseason. We'll see what the receiving core looks like next year. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. There is one thing that has me concerned about Chris Sale, and there is another thing that I believe I owe Chris Sale an apology for, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.